There is a great deception in our nation. There is a great deception in the church when a Christian believes that he can exalt himself above the wisdom or the word of God.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day and welcome to Love Never Fails. Pastor Bill is currently teaching an in-depth study of the New Testament epistle of James. You know, many people have the mistaken idea that just hearing God's word brings blessing, when in fact, it's the doing that brings the blessing, not the hearing alone. If we think we are spiritual because we hear the word, then we're only kidding ourselves. So let's join Pastor now for today's study he's titled, The Cheating Heart.
Amen. As we return to this great study in the book of James, these five chapters, remember that it's written, all five chapters are given to us. We can actually measure our spiritual maturity. It's a checklist, and we can see if we're growing into Christ's likeness, if we're being obedient to the Lord, and so forth. And so it's very important. James, as you already know, he's like a drill sergeant, and he's the Lord's half-brother, and there's 108 verses, and I think about 54 commands, more so in the book of James than any other book in the New Testament. And it's written to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, now all over the nations, literally scattered like seed, if you will. And so we have all these Jewish families. They've lost everything in Jerusalem because of the religious persecution and the Roman persecution. And now they are going through trials, they're going through tribulations. So James is writing to them as well as to us this morning, not to be deceived. Three times in chapter 1, James says, do not be deceived. Tell me something. What is worse than a Christian who knows the truth of God's word, but yet is self-deceived? Is that a tragedy? Oh, man, we don't want that at all. So he begins even in verse 16, if you want to look there, about deception. He uses that word. He says, brethren, he says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Now, in context, of course, he was talking about, remember the last time we were together, December, whenever it was, about doubting the goodness of God when you go through trials in your life. And we're going to all go through trials in our life. Amen? But don't doubt God's goodness. He is there. Don't blame God, because if you do start blaming God, remember what I said? You could start looking at the bait from the wicked one and take what he's telling you to do. Do you understand? Got to be very, very careful. And then in verse 22, it talks about deceiving again. But look who it says is being deceived. Don't deceive yourselves. And then in verse 26, this is very important. This is actually gives us a title of the message. And it says, deceives his own heart. That is to me, that just is a powerful word. And so the message this morning is called the cheating heart. No Christian wants to have a heart that's a cheating heart. Amen? And so very important word this morning. I pray you're open to it. But let's begin in verse 18, if you don't mind. When it talks about of his own will, meaning God's will, it says that he brought us forth, and look how he did it, by the word of truth, meaning God's word, the good news of Jesus Christ, that we might be kind of a first fruits or new creations, if you will, of his creatures. So James starts us off now as we begin a new study. And he says this, since you were born again, and the means by which you were born again is through God's holy word. You heard the word, you believed it in your heart, you received it, the Holy Spirit made it alive, and you were born again. Amen? Okay, since that has happened, he's telling us now, since you believe the word of truth, how in your life, in your walk as a believer now, how are you going to respond to the truth of God's word in your life. So he begins and he says this to us. He says, so then, or literally know this, he says, my beloved brethren. So we know he's speaking to believers, speaking to us. And here's what I want you to do right now. I want you to be careful because we all have a tendency to take this out of context. We have to keep verse 19 through 20 in context because he is speaking to those, speaking to us who have been born again by the word of God. Amen? Okay, so it's very important that we see that. So in verse 19 and following, he does something. He gives us three commands, if you will, teaching us if we're going to hear God's word, well, then we have to do something with God's word. So he says there, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be what? Swift to hear. What a word is that? Swift to hear. Swift to hear about what? Meaning the word of God. Amen? So the word swift literally means be quick to hear. Be attentive. Be ready and eager to hear the word of God. Question. This is not to upset you or condemn you, but this morning, have you thought about when you come to service this morning to hear the word of God? Did you say to yourself, I am ready to hear it? I am eager to hear it. I'm going to be quick to hear it. I want to hear God's word this morning. That's what James is saying. Man, we need to be, if the word of God is spoken, our ears, man, they need to just jump up, right? So we can hear everything that God is telling us to do. Listen, question, is there anyone wiser than God? Is there any book more wise than the word of God in the universe? No, we have it. And boy, if he tells us to do something, it is wisdom for us to do it. Now, let everyone be swift to hear. You remember the church at Thessalonica. When Paul asked them in 2 Thessalonians 3:1, he said, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God, the word of truth, would run swiftly or quickly, man, across all the nations, and that people would receive it and or hear it, receive it, and welcome it into their hearts. Because that's exactly what the church at Thessalonica did. And so here he says in Romans 1:19 again, he says, so we have to be swift to hear. And then he says, slow to speak. Now, that right there means, let me explain that. Slow to speak. I want to clear this. It's very important. I know that probably none of you remember the movie Taxi. Remember Taxi? It was a sitcom or something. But I remember a show that I watched. It was in 1979, Rebecca and I, and we watched it. And so I don't remember the guy's name. I just know that all the crowd was there, and it was the goofy guy, okay? And the goofy guy was getting his driver's license. And so all the team that went with him to help him, and so he's over there taking the test to get his driver's license, and he yells out to them. He says, what does a yellow light mean? You know, he's taking the test. And they go, slow down. And he goes, what does a yellow light mean? And they go, slow down. He goes, what does... Do y'all remember that? Anyone remember that besides me? I laughed. Anyway, that's not what this means here. Okay, I just wanted to make sure you got that this morning, all right? That's not what it means at all. So it says, slow to speak. So we are be quick to hear, slow to speak. Why? Listen. Do we have two mouths? No, but we have two ears. So be slow to speak. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 12, I think it's 36 right there in that area? He said, listen, do you not know that every idle word that man speaks, he will be held accountable at the judgment? The word inoperative word means a word that is useless, a word that doesn't bring life. Man, words are important, amen? And so the Bible tells us in Proverbs 10:19, it says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who remains or restrains his lips is wise. Proverbs 17:27, he who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding has a calm spirit. And so slow when we speak, and then slow to wrath or slow to anger. Uncontrolled anger most likely and usually always leads to uncontrolled speech, doesn't it? I mean, we have all in anger said things that we wish we had never said. And when we say things in anger, does it usually hurt other people? oh, we don't mean it, but we just, that's that horrible anger and so forth. So, but here it's about slow to anger about what? Remember in context, it's the word of truth. The word of truth. And that's what I mean. We have to keep this in context. It's very important. Listen, it's one thing for unbelievers to get mad at God's word. Okay, they're unbelievers. They're natural man. They can't understand the Spirit of God. They can't understand the word of God. It doesn't make sense to them. But for a Christian, for a believer to get mad or upset or get angry over God's word, that's not good. In other words, I don't agree with God. I don't agree with suffering, or why are we suffering? I don't understand, or why did this happen to me? Why do I have to forgive that person? You know, I'll use me. Why do I have to forgive that person that got drunk, those men that got drunk on whiskey that day on Mother's Day, and they were driving drunk, and they went over into the wrong lane, and my mother was driving a car and hit them head on and killed her. Why? Why do I have to forgive them? Are you listening to me? Or, this is the way you want me to raise my kids? Or, you want me to have marriage like this? Yes. See, people can get furious at the Word of God. Did you know that? Come on. How about Naaman? Remember Naaman, the general? Naaman the Syrian? Naaman the great soldier there in Syria? And he was a what? A leper. Wasn't a Baptist. Who said Baptist? No, he was a leper, okay? He was a sight over here. No, he was a leper. And so, remember, he had captured a little girl, a little teenage girl from Israel and brought her there. And now she was taking care of his wife. And so she went to his wife and said, you know what? My master, if he would go to Israel, there's a prophet in Israel that could heal him. And so, of course, Naaman heard about that. He went to the king of Syria, wrote him a letter. I'm not going to tell you the whole story because you need to read it later, 2 Kings 5. And what did he do? He loaded up gold and silver, changes of clothing and so forth, and got in his chariot, went all the way over to see Elijah, and his servant Gehazi was there. And so he shows up and so forth and at the door, does Elijah come out? No, the servant comes out. And he says, okay, my master said this, Naaman, all you have to do is go down to the Jordan and dip 7 times, and you will be healed. Now, was Naaman happy about the word of God? No. The Bible says, and he became furious. Furious. And so the servant comes up to him and says, well, you know what, master? He says, if he had come out here and you know, maybe, you know, waved his hands and all this kind of stuff, you'd have been happier, but, you know, can't you just go do it? So what does he do? He goes down and he dips 7 times and he comes out and his skin is like a little baby's. Amen? Now listen, he heard the word of God, but he got mad at the word of God. Are you hearing me? You forgive that person. Well, you don't know what they did, what they said about me. They've hurt me. They ruined my name. The moment you do what God says, you hear the word of God, forgive those. Forgive them. It's not an emotion, it's obedience. Amen? When you forgive them, you heard the word of God, now you're doing the word of God, and now you're walking in the power of God. Because you're doing what God said. You're not self-deceived. If you don't do that, you are deceived in your own heart. And you don't want a heart that's going to cheat you. Amen? So it's about being slow to anger. Now listen, there is a great deception in our nation. There is a great deception in the church. When a Christian believes that he can exalt himself above the wisdom or the word of God. Loved one, God is not wrong. He's never wrong. Amen? So I hear, you know, guys, I don't want to have marriage God's ways. I want to have marriage my way. Okay, did you create woman? No, you don't even understand women. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. You can never understand your wife unless you are born again and do what God says. Did you understand? God understands your wife. Hello? That's a life work. You know, he created marriage. He created male. He created female. Amen? Okay, so he knows, we don't. So when you say, okay, God said to have marriage this way, to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for, okay, I'm going to do that by his grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit. But God said I could do it. See, God's commandments, are they our enablements? Yes, God would never, listen, if God commanded us to do something but didn't give us the power to do it, God would be guilty. But he does give us the power to do it. He'll never command us to do something that we are incapable of doing. In our own power, yes. In his power, absolutely not. Proverbs 14:29, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. Why? Angry, if you're an angry Christian, now listen, angry Christians, they close their ears. They don't hear anything but their own anger, and they close their ears. It says in Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirs up strife, a furious man, like Naaman, he was furious. A furious man abounds in transgression. Abounds in transgression. What does that mean? It means the things that God has commanded us not to do, we transgress. God says, there's a line. Don't cross that line. And we willfully cross it. Boy, that's a bad thing, isn't it? That's deception, loved one. Listen, no believer, if you're angry, I'm not mad at you, okay? I'm not blaming you. But if you have an anger problem, I want you to listen to me. You cannot, no believer grows in Christ's likeness with an angry spirit. It just can't happen. You know why? Because angry Christians don't hear God. Bill, what do you mean? Because if you heard God, you would do what he says. Do you understand? How do I know that? Well, look at the next verse. For the wrath or the anger of man does not produce, does not promote, does not achieve, does not work the righteousness of God. Look at verse 18 of chapter 3 of James. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who are angry? No, by those who make peace. God's righteousness doesn't grow from human anger. It doesn't work, loved one. Get rid of that anger. And you can do it because God will help you. Therefore, what are we to do? Therefore, lay aside or put away all filthiness, anything that defiles. In other words, get the trash out of your life. How does that sound? Anything that's going to soil you. And listen, you say, well, Bill, how am I going to do that? I'm glad you asked me, because there is only one way that any of us can lay aside anything wrong or anything that defiles, anything that's dirty in our life. And that is not done in your own strength. Amen? No, it's always done by the Holy Spirit. Listen, only the Holy Spirit who lives in you and loves you, the Spirit of truth, he's the only one that can give you, me, victory over any sin. We can't do it. That's why it says in Romans 8:13, if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. Here it comes. But if you, by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, by the power of another, you... I love this. You put to death, you kill the deeds of the body. And the things that are wrong, anger or hate or unforgiveness, whatever it is, you put those things to death. How do you do it? By the power of another. You can't do it. Zechariah 4:6, what does it say? It says, not by might, not by my own ability, not by power, not by a political system or an army, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. Man, we have to do it in the power of another now, and we have to get rid of it. Question, have you ever seen a spider web in your house? Yes. And you ever just, okay, got that little duster and removed it, right? And next week, all of a sudden, you come back and you see a spider web again. Is that correct? Okay, I understand that. You know why the spider web is still there? Because you didn't kill the spider. Kill it. I hate spiders. I told the early service, I said, when I lived on the farm out in Keller, when there was nothing here, nothing, nothing. All the way to Denton, there was nothing. I lived on the farm with my grandparents. I went out to the barn one day, and if you've ever seen an orange-back tarantula that's big as a plate, oh, they used to be all over this area. Man, I saw that, and I've been in counseling ever since. I mean, they are frightening. And listen, let me tell you something. I don't know if they're around anymore, but back then, they were fast. And for a little boy, that's a scary thing. You go to bed at night, and you feel like they're sucking the blood out of you or whatever. I don't know why I got off. Oh, spiders. You got to kill the spider. Amen? So you got to get rid of all that filthiness. Now, what's interesting is that word, where the word filthiness, if you looked it up in the Greek, you did a word study, it also speaks of wax in the ear. Isn't that amazing? So if you got a bunch of filthiness going on, you're building up wax in your ear. And what happens when you build up a lot of wax in your ear? You can't hear. So you know what you have to do? You have to get your ears clean. Remember in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 and 12 and so forth, remember how the author of Hebrews, which I believe to be Paul, said, you know, by now you ought to be teachers. But I can't. You've got to get back on the milk again and so forth because you're not growing up. And he says, and the reason is I want to tell you great things about Jesus, our great high priest, he says. He says, but they're hard to explain, not because you're a bunch of dummies. He didn't say that. He said, it's hard to explain because you have become, they weren't always that way. You have become dull of hearing. In other words, all of a sudden you've got a big wax buildup in your ears and you're not hearing. Now listen to me. When we don't lay aside, we won't welcome the Word of God. Amen? When we don't lay aside, we won't do the Word of God. Why? We have a wax buildup. So what happens is we think we're hearing sometimes the voice of the Lord, and we probably are hearing a little bit, but what happens is we start hearing things that will get us into trouble. We start hearing the voice of strangers and not the voice of the good shepherd because we don't lay aside. Very, very important. And so we are to do those things. See, when we come here or when you read the Bible, all of us, me, you, we have to be quick to hear. We have to be eager to hear. And we have to be ready to go do what we hear. Amen? Now, so we lay aside all filthiness and look at the next one. And the overflow of wickedness or the abundance of wickedness. Now, here's what this means. This means that when you were born from above, the stuff that you were born again, say day one, here now, you're a new creation in Christ. But maybe old things haven't completely passed away. I mean, you're not the Apostle Paul the moment you're born again. Right, so like when I told you the other day, when I was born again, you know, I had a pack of cigarettes in my pocket. I was drinking a cold beer that day. I mean, think about that. So the overflow of wickedness is the thing, here I'm born again now, but I'm bringing all this junk that I haven't gotten rid of. Do you follow me? I haven't grown in Christ-likeness. I'm only a baby. I'm only one day old. And so what that means is you got to get rid of the overflow. You got to get that out of your life. You don't bring it into the kingdom of God. So you go in and you do what God says and so forth. So how does that done? Well, James gives us three pictures, if you will, of the Word of God or the Word of truth. And these descriptions, verse 21, God's word is like the implanted word or a seed that's living, that's planted in your heart at the new birth. In verse 23, he likens the word of God to a mirror unto which one looks into. And then in verse 25, he calls it the perfect law of liberty or the law, the word of God, the law which gives freedom or liberty to us. Now, so we get rid of filthiness of the flesh, the overflow of wickedness, and it says, and receive, that word means to welcome, receive the word of God like a friend into our hearts. How? It says, with meekness, the implanted word, meaning you heard the word of God, someone shared the word of God with you, you believed the word of God, the Spirit of God, since you believed it, made it alive in your heart, and you were born from above. Amen? Okay, so the implanted word, look what it says, which is able to save your souls. So how can we be careless with the word of truth that has already saved us? Now, and he tells us again how to do it. The word meekness there means a teachable spirit. If you don't have a teachable spirit, you will never remove self-deception from your heart, loved one. And God doesn't want that. So that implanted word, that seed, the seeds of the word of God in your heart, and you know what? The seed has to start growing, doesn't it? And as it starts growing, you start maturing and so forth. You start bearing fruit, and then you're being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, that Christ-likeness. Now, but if we will not lay aside these things, then we're not going to hear and we're not going to welcome them. You remember what when Paul went to Berea, and the Bereans were more noble than the other group, remember? And it says in Acts 17, 11, it says, and they received the word, they welcomed the word with all readiness. Man, they were eager to hear the word, they were quick to hear the word, They searched the scriptures daily. Why? To find out whether the things that Paul was teaching were so.
Well, there's much more to this message, and we encourage you to tune in tomorrow to hear the conclusion to The Cheating Heart. We appreciate you listening along with us today, and we'll look for you again tomorrow. In the meantime, have a great day. So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.